Welcome to the Being Curious Show. I'm Brian Mariani, founder of No Shift Owned.
And I'm Kelly Wagner, publisher of Edge Magazine. Our show is about curiously connecting teachers and seekers on a wide range of topics in a safe space. Few topics will be off limits, and we have some amazing guests to share with you.
Our intention is that our conversations will spark your own curiosity to create a life that lights you up and inspires you to be kind, thoughtful, open-minded to yourself and others.
We are on AM 950, Sundays at 2 p.m. and all podcast platforms. So, Brian, what are you curious about today?
Whoa, here we go, Kelly. We've got a great show lined up. Are you excited?
I'm always excited to partner with you, Mr. Brian.
We always have fun.
We do.
And we have a very special guest today. It's, you know, sometimes we get to interview extraordinary people that we don't know. Sometimes we know them a little bit. Our guest today, Joyce, is literally one of my dearest friends. And she's an exceptional human being out there in the world. And we're so excited to have you, Joyce. Welcome to the Being Curious Show.
Thank you.
I have
to
say,
I'm glad to be in this moment here with you guys.
I'm a little jealous. This is an easy name to pronounce, and I would have knocked this one out of the park.
Okay, let's do it.
Joyce,
it's all you. The lights are on you.
No. You got it. You already stole my thunder on that one. It's all good. I'm so excited, Joyce. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, awesome. You're welcome.
So we're here with Joyce. For those who don't know her, Joyce White Nelson, she is the founder of Joyce Ventures. She's also on the founding team of an amazing company called the goodlife.ai. Her professional experience, she has a master's in educational organizational leadership, along with just an impressive career in both the public and the private sector, especially around education. So she brings decades and decades of experience. And she also has an amazing story, which is really why I wanted to bring her on today, because I'm just going to let Joyce tell it. But Joyce, what would you say were some of those early experiences you had that ultimately had you starting to get curious around finding your path in life?
Well, I'll get to that, but I have to get something off my mind first, because you said decades and decades.
I know,
of
I hit with that.
And I saw this hat today, Brian, that said "Old Lives Matter." So I think I need one of those.
That was meant in the most positive way.
I did have some experiences that I feel are, you know, were really pivotal in my life. So my very young life was very different than my life now, or how people know me now. So my very young life was very isolated. Physically, demographically, I was isolated out like on a dirt road on a farm. And then within my family structure, there were people living in the house, but I was very isolated. And, really my horse and my dog were who I communicated with. And as a matter of fact, this is one of my pony's shoes that I keep. It's sort of made it silver and I keep it to remember.
Love that.
And with that isolation, I went to a really small school, 3-room schoolhouse. That's how old, Brian.
Decades and decades and decades.
Decades and decades.
Ago. Brian, that's not
I'm
how you.
Hear
that's
the end of that.
Oh, it's okay. No.
We can only do that because we are good friends. So, I didn't really know all the things I didn't know and I got really good grades until I didn't. When I graduated from that small school, I went to a college prep high school, and bam, I figured out I didn't know how to read. I got all A's, didn't know how to read, because I was colored in the lines pretty much. I was a good girl, pretty good girl. And so that was really a struggle. High school was really, really a crying struggle for me. they didn't really have the words dyslexia or any of that stuff then. And so I had a couple elephants in the room. When the pivotal point came that shifted my life, when I was 15, I went to Spain for the summer to do some study stuff. And there I learned for the first time how to look at my life from the outside in. I had never been really out of that environment. So I had that experience. I didn't know any of those words of, you know, meditating. I didn't know any of that. I just knew that I could look at that. And I came back a changed person and decided that in the young vocabulary, the young mind that I had then, is that I knew I could do something different, that I didn't have to live in the middle of it all the time. I could get away in my mind. I could get away physically, you know, and I didn't have to like run into the cornfield all the time just to get away. So that was one really pivotal thing for me.
What drew you to Spain? What drew you to Spain? You know, you say that you were in like this bubble and it's a very small world.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden
I was in a kind of cool prep school. So okay. That was an experience, and my parents had the money to send me to that for the summer. So I was away for 6 weeks.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So with, you know, you described that kind of isolation that you mentioned. You even said, you know, there were people in the house, but it didn't really feel that way. And was that, did you have a sense early on that you were thinking about things differently, or did you just feel different, or was it just very obvious to you that the people closest to you thought about things differently and they kind of exposed that very early on, or did you figure it out over time, or what did that all look like?
Well, all of the above until you end, I figured it out over time also, you know, but I did experience things differently. Some of it, I didn't know it was because I couldn't read. I just thought that like instructions were stupid.
Yeah. Some of them are.
Yeah. Well, true point. So, but you know, so I figured out how to do things in a different way. So I became a very auditory and experiential learner, not knowing those words we know now, you know? And I did look at things differently, than my family did. Considerably.
And so, you know, you mentioned going to Spain, and that was, you know, kind of world opening to you, your human experience very opening to you. Did that give you some confidence to start exploring maybe what your interests might be in the world, or like what was that next step? Because you obviously, you know, ended up becoming very successful in the education world.
Not quite yet. What it gave me the confidence to do was to know I could figure myself out. I was very uncertain who I was. Like I was still trying to like laugh in a mirror to see how I was supposed to laugh authentically or smile. Like I didn't know who I was, where I was. So this understanding that I could, you know, pull back and look at things, but you know, not have to be in the middle of it, even when I was still living there. So I experienced it being away. And then when I came back, so it gave me a perspective that I can do this. Like I can get myself kind of together. I know as a teenager too, so this is maybe normal teenage thing, but it was very pivotal for me that I could pull myself out and take a look at things and not have to emotionally be in the middle of everything all the time. So that it was huge. Later I became, you know, got through college, all that. My first degree is in art education, and I was taking a tour, a group of students to Europe on an art tour. And I was the art guide. And so I don't know, either of you ever taken art history? Okay. Well, the traditional way when I took it in a long, long time ago, Brian, was
decades and decades
was by rote memorization. So you have to memorize all these facts, locations, you know, and all the art. So we model what we know. So when I became a teacher, I taught that the same way. So now I'm taking these people to Europe on site. And here I am pointing eloquently to something at Notre Dame, speaking about whatever this I was talking about there. And one of the, and now I'm not that much older than these students right at this point. I was probably 20, maybe 21. And I have, because I started college early, and I have a student that's like 18, and he says, wait a minute, I forgot something. And he called, he ratted me out in front of everybody. And he said, wait a minute, you made us take a test on that. And I did. And he was right. And I got pretty quiet, like I am now. And I just said, you know, you're right. Let me get back to you on that. So that night I went away, you know, on my own, and pretty much cried in my bowl of soup, you know, at some little cafe, and said, okay, you have a choice. What are you going to do here? Are you going to fake it, or are you going to make a change? So the next day I came back. Now, one segue here is, I had students of all ages in this class. So people of all ages could sign up. It wasn't only 18-year-olds. So I had 18-year-olds to what I thought were old people then, 60-year-olds. And so I came back and I said, hey, this is what we're going to do. We're going to have a good time. We're going to have fun doing this. And when we arrive somewhere, we're all going to contribute what we can remember about this place or location. I don't know what you know. I was talking to somebody in the group. I don't know what you know about world events. I'm just a clueless little art teacher here, you know. And we're all going to contribute. So this was a pivotal moment for me and a permanent shift for me of how I approached learning and growing together. You know, now we have words for that, you know, collaborative. We have all kinds of words and models for that. But that it was just a lot more fun for everybody to put their stuff on the table and have a dialogue about it. And that was a permanent change. Yeah.
Love that. The beginnings of this collaborative culture, which hopefully, you know, will take hold even more and more. So you're starting to have some ideas of what inspires you in terms of work. And what happens next? How do you really move into, you know, the professional areas of your life?
Well, I'm a person that's had a lot of transitions in life, Brian. So I was an art teacher for a while. Moved a few times, had different types of positions for that. And then I started having children. And with children, I had like home births. I had homeschooling. And then later, there was a later period that I transitioned again back into work. And at that time, I came back in a different type of education. I came back with elementary and special education, mostly because of the economy and there were no art positions. So I had to reinvent myself and transition a different way and get back into the job world. And through that path, that's where came the organizational leadership. I sort of moved through, I studied some specific interventions and behavioral things for positive reinforcement and positive interventions, and that turned into creating different systems for districts, state, and at the national level. So it kind of blew up. I got involved with some researchers, and I had a grand time. I loved it. But I worked with whole teams and systems of schools, changing how the whole system to a proactive rather than a reactive system, so that in the education world, their client is the student, right? And in business world, it's a customer, but the student is the client, and that's who they measure the success. So they don't happen to measure it in dollars. They happen to measure it in grades, you know? So, but students can't be successful if they're not in school. So kids that are getting kicked out, kids that are getting sent to detention, I was really passionate about changing the systems to support those students so they could thrive, all of the students, not just the ones getting kicked out, but all of the students so they could thrive and to be proactive rather than just punishing, you know, the kids that were kind of what people call problem kids. I didn't agree with that, but yeah. Well, I love doing that. I did that for a lot of years.
Yeah. So that really brings us to the end of segment one. So I think we've really gotten to know a lot of your journey throughout the beginning part of your life and starting to understand some of the elements of how you became who you are today. And we're going to dive right back in segment two. I'm Brian. That's Kelly. We're here with Joyce. And we'll see you all very soon.
Hey everybody, we're back.
We're back.
We're here with Joyce. We're here with Brian. Brian's back. So the last couple shows, Brian has been, I said you were tripping the wild fantastic. You're going to listen to those shows.
I can't wait
so
to listen.
Much fun. I always bring Brian in, whether he's here, there, or everywhere. We are back with Joyce. She is the founder of thegoodlife.ai. And very, very curious soul. I saw it was interesting when you were talking about your learning that you did things. It's the word backwards comes to mind, but it wasn't backwards, but you just did it in your own way. And with the previous segment about your learning at Notre Dame and you're like going like this and this was done in this, I can just see you going to this cafe, having this moment of just going, ugh. And then the next morning, just getting ready. And like today, we're all going to collaborate. And what do you know? And what do you know? And what do you know? And I actually bet day two was your best day on that tour. Just saying, I wasn't there, but I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm. Kelly's very intuitive. So she's when she's there, she's like seeing all this stuff around you. She probably saw a replay of that whole event.
I actually did dial into it. It was kind of fun.
Yeah.
I was like, I want to go to the Louvre with you. I think that would be really, really fun.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. So we started to understand a bit about how you really were a part of these, would you call them structures or organizational ways of thinking in the public school system that impacted on the national level. But what were those things that you were a part of building, and did they work? Did they not work? Was it a positive experience? Did you ultimately get frustrated? How did that all go?
You have a lot of commas in your questions, Brian.
There was a lot of commas in that one. And we only have 13 minutes and 51 seconds left.
We have so little time. We don't have decades. We have like 16 minutes.
Over and over and over.
Okay. Well, because all those commas require a lot of jargon, and I'm not going to answer in that educationalese. Yes, it was something called a movement, which was very ahead of the curve, especially in my first state, which was Wisconsin. It's called Positive Behavioral Interventions and Supports. There's a big mouthful. Well, doing some research for a paper, I came across these the founders of this. And being who I am, I said, hey, I want to meet you. And I did. And then I got intricately involved in what they were doing and passionate about it and on a mission to bring it to my state and have it be statewide. So that happened. Long story, not going into it. Long in terms of years to be doggedly determined for something to happen and finding a way and just getting up the next morning and doing it again, Kelly. And saying, okay, we're going to do this another way.
There you go.
And having a good time. And yes, it was successful. It was very successful. Systems changed. There was great impact measurable impact. And school boards, superintendents, state school systems, and nationally were happy. Yep, and teachers were happy. Because you have to remember, that's me at the heart. I'm a teacher. Yeah.
That's a huge win. To be a part of a movement, as you said, mm-hmm. that, you know, was grassroots, but grew and grew, especially in the school system, must have given you a lot of confidence to go into whatever was next. And of course, I know a lot about what you're doing today, which I know we're going to dive into. But was there something in between, or, you know, was that pretty much what happened before what you're doing today?
Yeah, that was really what happened. And, you know, a lot of people transition to something different when there's sort of maybe a crisis in their life or they're unhappy doing what they were doing. Neither of those things happened. I actually had sort of a download that said I was supposed to do something different. And I'm like, really? Like, everything's going good here. And so I listened to that and I'm like, well, what am I supposed to do? And so I was told I have everything I need. And I'm like, what does that mean? So I decided to just follow that one foot or one step at a time. And so I made a little bit of a plan to transition out of that career and start my own business. And I gave myself a 3-year time window. And what I wanted to do was replace my income. And then I set this date sort of in a human way. There were some strategic reasons why I set it for 3 years. Some other transitions were happening in life. So I set it for 3 years and I achieved that. So during that time, I built up I realized that I didn't have a business network. I had an educational network. So I needed to do that. So I started bringing people to my house for, you know, businesses. I started a side gig for additional income while I was working full time and raising 3 kids alone. That was happening. And
I'm still on the home birth.
Well, you can't do it during the day. You're working. So I had to start something at night. So I got on Meetup, which was brand new after 9/11. And I said, are you like me? You can't network during the day, but you want to meet at night? Come to my house. So I started one at my home. And that's sort of how that went. You know, one, you start thinking about, well, how can I make this happen? If there's these constraints, well, what would work? What could work? Oh, let's give that a try. And so that slowly grew. And then I did. I left my job in 3 years. And then I started my business, Joyce Ventures, with the intention of transitioning the skills that I had in organizational leadership into business and helping people to use like a collaborative model that, you know, team building and bringing in other experts so we could do sort of like a mastermind, you know, consultancy model and help businesses thrive. Yep.
Rock on.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
I want to see what Kelly's pulling.
Yeah,
in.
She seeing up there?
Oh, I was seeing a lot. Don't worry about it. Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Like, you would, again, I'm like, I'm still back on your home births. So
I was busy.
Oh, my gosh. I totally get the whole working your 9-to-5 gig, especially as you're trying to transition. There's so many people that I know in our community that are working their job because they have responsibilities. Let's say it's health insurance or this is what they studied for, but they have this longing to be doing something else. So I love that you're like, hey, everybody at night, come on over. Let's just do that. Maybe that's just, it's inspiring. Tell me more about that download, because that was very interesting that you embraced it, where so many people would be like, what? But I have all the stuff I'm doing. And you were just inspired to just manifest and make it happen.
Well, you know, when you said that, I said, what is it? And it brought me back to my first story. So the first story here I told today was about me, you know, getting away and being able to look from the outside in at myself as a youth, you know, and that was pivotal to me. So I think that when that happened, I listened. And I listened even though I didn't understand it all. And I didn't have a plan. I just started taking actions without risking the peril of my family, you know, or my income, but I took actions in that direction because I really believe we're given what we're able to receive. So I was given enough to take an action, and that's my role, take the next action. And then if I'm ready, I'll receive more.
So tell us about the career advice that your dad gave you.
Oh, yeah. I actually wasn't really happy with it when I got it. But
oh,
I
I'm sure you weren't. You're like, Dad,
my dad was a sort of a, kind of high-powered attorney in Chicago. And, you know, those days they didn't have take your daughter to work day and things like that. But I was asking him decades and decades ago, but I was asking him, about career, what should I do? And, you know, all he said to me was, Joycey, just do what makes you happy. And I'm like, okay, I don't know what that is, Dad. You know, junior in high school, do we know what that is exactly? Not many of us do. And I said, but I don't know if I know how. And he said, you'll have to figure it out. And he was right. I mean, it's the best advice ever. It wasn't an advice that helped me pick anything or choose a path in a traditional career, but it is the advice that I have been grounded on, maybe especially in times where I didn't feel happy. I held on to that like a kind of like a jewel, you know, that it is there. It just, because we're not feeling it on the surface or the moment, it is there. So, it was great advice.
It's interesting. What I see with that is, you know, when we ask sometimes for advice, we're actually wanting direction, right? We're wanting our get out of jail free card. And what I see with your dad, what he did in that moment is, I have something that I have called my yellow brick road when I dial in intuitively. And it was basically like your dad set you up at the starting line of this beautiful adventure. And he went, you can go that way, you can go that way, you can go that way. See these three paths? Pick your adventure. But then he whispered in your ear, do what makes you feel happy. And it's almost like, you know that you're going to have your off ramp, you know you're going to have your challenges, but if you keep that in your core, then you're going to be okay.
Oh, thanks for that. That's nice.
There you go. Just a little bit of Kelly.
Yeah, thanks.
A little bit of Kelly helps life go down. I really love that, though, because Kelly touched on it earlier. But what you've shared today, Joyce, is I think really, really helpful for our communities that, you know, we're reaching out to, because so many people, you know, they'll have a download or they'll have that little voice in their head that says, hey, I'm not really happy with what I'm doing. I've had this dream that I've never really gone after. And I think this advice from your dad, and then pair that with your other experiences, you're not so mixed up in exactly how it's supposed to happen. You're kind of like, oh, I have to work because I have to sustain myself and my family. But what can I do to help at least start me on this path that I'm seeing as the way to be really happy with my work? And you go, oh, there's this thing called Meetup on this thing called the internet that's just kind of getting started. And I'm going to invite strangers into my home.
And my AOL
email
address.
And probably everybody else was like, are you crazy? Like, that's, no one would do that. And Joyce is like,
I don't tell many people always, Brian.
Joyce is like,
now you just told 10 people.
But guess what? You accomplished your goal in 3 years. You manifested your download. And I just think it's such a testament for everyone to hear that when you hear that voice, when you have the download, do as Joyce did. that should be like a new kind of hashtag. Do as Joyce did. Like, don't think that you have to have it all figured out.
Mm-hmm.
Just do something in the direction that feels like it's the right direction.
And it's okay if it's not the right direction.
Right. Just do something.
Because we will learn from that too. You know, and you don't know who you're going to meet. We don't need to connect all the dots. They connect themselves for us, you know, if we're really observing. That's not our job to, like, make sure everything is lined up. We can just cast that net. You know, if you don't know what direction, you can cast the net of experiences and then see what lands, what you're going to reel in that net.
There it is right there.
So I had 15 jobs before I was 21.
Yeah.
We're just going to leave it at that. And I learned so many beautiful things of what I don't want to do. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I was still mm-hmm. at that age where I could do that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I wouldn't yeah. recommend it to anybody. But my dad actually started collecting all the T-shirts and the shirts from the places and the employers that I had. It was really funny. And he'd tell everybody, oh, yeah, Kelly worked here for 2 weeks.
Kelly's wall of fame.
I know. It was
Kelly's
just
job of fame.
But I learned yeah. so much that I was able to learn all these different little components. And, well, we're here today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Brian, to your point, and you, Kelly, I just want to make one comment. I'm also like an adventurer. Right. And I'm driven by a lot of variety. You know, I like those things. I'm very comfortable in uncertainty or chaotic. But for people that aren't Brian, there's a way to cast that net and not have to feel uncertain. So there's a way for both styles of people to do that.
Ooh, guess what? We're going to tee off our next segment with. Hey, you guys, it's Kelly. It's Brian. It's Joyce. We're being curious on AM 950. Back for segment 3.
Welcome back, everyone. This is the Being Curious Show. I'm Brian. That's Kelly.
Hello.
We're here with Joyce. We're on AM 950, the Progressive Voice. And we want to say thank you to everyone who's tuning in. Our little crowd of people, we love you. It's growing. It actually is growing.
It actually is.
For those of you who have gone on to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen, and you've actually taken the time to give us some feedback, share a comment, rate the show. We love you. Thank you so much. We're here because of you, and we're so excited to continue to do this and to bring these conversations and these ideas and these amazing people into your phones and your living room and wherever you're listening to us on a walk.
In your bathrooms and really wherever.
Yeah. Whatever. Do it. Do what you want to do.
Just bring us with you.
Just bring us with you.
Just bring us with you.
So we're here with Joyce, and we've really we've learned a lot about who you are, kind of this adventure you've been on, the ups and downs. You've done it all. You've built a family. You've built companies. You've worked in the education system. I mean, there's a lot that's happened here. And we definitely want to focus here with the little bit of time that we have, because you are a founding member of a very influential health tech company that's being built, and it's called the goodlife.ai. And you're really you're building something that could have global impact. And so I want to make sure that you can share what it is, how it became to be, and of course, what you see the vision of it being in the future.
Okay, cool. I'm a very excited founding member. So I want to start that with a little story first. So the purpose, the mission and vision of Joyce Ventures was to connect, collaborate, and contribute to others. So in that, since I did a lot of collaborating, I'd work with other companies in different types of partnerships, teach other people how to do that too in a sort of creative way. During my transitioning into business and learning more about business, I read a book called The Accidental Millionaire. I read a lot of books, but one of them was called The Accidental Millionaire. And that the author of that book is Stephanie Frank. So reading her book, she comes out of tech and security, and that's where she made her first money, The Accidental Millionaire, and her first business. So this book was structured like a, I'm sure there's a term for this, but like a tutorial. So like a workbook where you contribute, you read the book and then you have lessons and you read the book and you do some more lessons. Not interactive, I'm going to say. Not like a textbook, it's not. But so then I decided to connect with her and I went and met her for and did a weekend with her. You know, I hired her for a weekend and we worked on my business. So that would have been about 2011 or somewhere around there. And so I stayed loosely connected with her after that. And 2017 rolled around and she invited me out to Phoenix. And I came out there and that is where the parent company of The Good Life was born, called the Holosek Group. So The Good Life company is a software application. And here's the story. It's Stephanie's story of how this came about. Stephanie had, in those years interim, she was a full-time, besides being a professional and a business owner and a speaker and an author, she was a full-time caregiver for her mother and her husband. And she just became exhausted, burnt out and exhausted and landed in the hospital. And in the hospital, she took, someone brought her a stuffed animal. I think it was Simba. Hope I got that right. And she said, Simba, you know, I wish I could make a way that I could blend everything I know about technology with psychology so that we can help people when they feel stressed, overwhelmed, worn out, and just need somebody to talk to. And that was the genesis of what we call the behavioral engine, the engine or the architecture of The Good Life. So it's born out of a deep passion to help people feel better.
Wow. Well, I mean, we need that today more than ever, I'd say. And I love the origin story. I've actually heard Stephanie share it, and you did an absolutely spot on. It's an amazing story. And so for those people who are saying, okay, I love the story. That sounds like something that's definitely needed. What's the application? How is it used? What's the technology of it? Is it for personal use? Is it for businesses, organization? Okay. How does all that work?
Okay, so what it is it's a holistic approach. It's a digital coach using AI, so it's smart technology, using coaching methodology, and the process is like texting. You just talk back and forth. So it's not a website. It's immediately interactive. You're talking to Jeannie, your Good Life coach. And how it's built is we're built on a, you know, deep treasure chest of behavioral science. So cognitive behavioral therapy, values assessments, you know, learning style, positive psychology. But these things don't happen in an assessment type format. They happen conversationally. So I'm not the architect. I'm not the techie. We have an actual rocket scientist that does that, the architecture, Bryce Kuhlman. He's a co-founder with Stephanie Frank. And but this is just an interactive conversational. And through the context of the conversation and some questions, Jeannie's able to get a profile, which we call your hero identity. So it's a culmination of many different assessments that are made really simple. That's our number one value in the company, simplicity. So it's very simple on the front and very complex, I'd like to say, behind the curtain. And then Jeannie she can interact with you how she interacts with you, the way you like to talk, the way you like to hear, the way you like to feel. And as she interacts, she can make either spot coaching suggestions. She can lead you to different activities, but it's always permission based through an interaction. But it's based on your style, your hero identity. That makes sense?
Absolutely.
Kelly, I got to ask her because this is new for her to wrap her head around.
I'm like wanting to sign up right now. Like, I'm like, you guys, hold on a second. I need to go and meet Jeannie. Like,
yeah,
that's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and you know, I have had quite some experience with this technology, as you know, Joyce. And one of the things that was really inspiring to me is that, especially, you know, in the workspace, because, you know, so many people are working at home now, and there's like this thing that's happening where not everyone's going to work in a cubicle anymore. It's just different. We don't really know what it looks like. But the ability to have a technology that gets to know your hero, who you really are, and that would get to know that maybe on Wednesdays is a day that it's a tough day. It's for whatever reason. And that technology can come in the way that you communicate and say, hey, how are you? Or, hey, did you do your workout? Or, hey, did you, whatever that is, the technology actually knows how to communicate so that even if it's that slight 1% shift in the right direction, that can compound over time. And I think that's the brilliance of this technology, but maybe you can speak more to how this technology can impact right away and compound positively over time.
Yeah. So Jeannie has the capacity to be with you 24/7, 365, right? So a full-time coach or maybe a mentor or, something like that, a wise mentor type of thing. So that's nice because stuff doesn't always happen to us, you know, like at 2 o'clock on Tuesday and when we have an appointment for it, right? Or we have to drive across town to do that or text somebody and get a hold of them.
Right.
So, the approach is to always be available technologically wise. And then also the approach is to be a wise coach, which is taking the viewpoint that you know yourself best and Jeannie's going to bring that out of you, help you blossom, help you thrive to live your best life. We know there's like so much stress, so much loneliness, you know, for people. It's all over the news for individuals in life and in the workplace. People are struggling.
Yeah.
The leaders in the workplace are struggling, just like the employees. They're all struggling. Nobody is left untouched by this. And a lot of people are wondering what to do.
Yeah.
And companies are moving to hiring live coaches in addition to like their mental wellness programs with EAP. Jeannie can be a bridge for all of that because she can be there all the time and help bridge to maybe more, serious interventions. But we like to think and we believe that people have their own answers. They just need a little bit of help and they can find those answers. They can uncover their hero within, their genius. That's where Jeannie comes from. They can uncover that. When the things are small as they arrive, why do we need to wait? Why do we need to be reactive? Can't we be proactive? What if we could be proactive with our own mental wellness? I think that's what you are about in this show and your listeners. They want to be proactive. Interventions or methodologies that are in place, creating healthy habits. Jeannie does that. Learning how to create achievable goals. Jeannie has that. learning how to develop your own quests, maybe, or your own type of challenge that you might need in your life for a certain duration of a time. She does that. She helps you to remember those things, be accountable to those things, and maybe get a little unstuck when you get stuck.
I almost see it just like oil changes. It's like we don't want to wait till the car is out of gas and without oil, and so many people wait till they're just scorched. And it's just a way to just kind of have that proactive measure. I see my mentor every month, and we just talk. I mean, we have it. We book out a year in advance, and it's that proactive approach. I have a functional medicine doctor that I'm on his calendar every 6 weeks, and it's just like even if I'm feeling great, I still show up because we check it. I love this approach where it's 2 o'clock in the morning. I can't sleep. I either have a deadline or I have something personal going on, and I can connect with Jeannie
She'll help you figure that out, right. Kelly. Like, so we don't always know what it is. Maybe why aren't we sleeping? Like, I can't figure it out. Like a good coach, she takes you through a series of questions. You know, what is that you're feeling? Helping you expand good, mad, sad, and glad. You know, there's more emotions than that. She can help you expand that. She can help you figure out, is it in my family? Or is it in my, you know, my finances? Where is it in my life that this is targeting? And then she can help you address that. Like, you might be a person that likes to journal. You might be a person that needs to go out and get a breath of fresh air. Because she knows your personality style, she can make those types of suggestions to you.
Huge.
You like that?
I love it. And of course, I wish that we could dive in so much more. But I really hope that if you're listening, that you've gotten to know Joyce a bit. And you're going, well, this is... at the very least, a good person. This is a good person who knows what she's talking about and has created opportunities to provide people with good possibilities to further their life ambition, their goals, their passions.
And to meet them where they're at.
Maybe even figure out exactly that. Maybe even, you know, find work that they love and enjoy. But what I'd love to do quickly, Joyce, is how do people get in touch with you? Do they go to thegoodlife.ai? What's the website? How can people reach you?
There's a lot of ways to reach me, Brian. I'm pretty much out there. So my name is Joyce Lynn White. They can get me on LinkedIn. My website is joyceventures.com, and I'm available there. And then also on The Good Life, you'll see me right there on the front page. thegoodlife.ai, and you can fill that little form out and get right to me.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much, Joyce. You're a dear friend, and I hope that everyone out there just had as much fun as Kelly and I did. I'm Brian. That's Kelly. We are Being Curious.
Yay, Joyce had fun.
Thank you, AM 950. We're the Being Curious Show. We'll see y'all next time.